Okay, tonight is a Monday night, January 11th, or 26th day of the month of Tevet. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah, Daf Lamed Hey Omud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai, we're up to Daf Lamed Hey Omud Aleph, and now the Gemara will begin to analyze some of the unique disqualifications or rules and regulations concerning an Esro. Exactly in the middle of the page, Shall Asherah v'shal ira nidachas pasul. So we had mentioned this the last week. I'll just briefly review it. The Mishnah says that an esrog shall Asherah, a tree that was worshipped by avodah zarah, an esrog taken from the city in which the majority of the inhabitants worshipped avodah zarah, you're not allowed to use the esrog from either of those cases. Says the Gemara, my ta'ama, what is the reason? Kevan de l'sreifa ka'i, since they are scheduled to be burnt, therefore their required shi'ur does not exist. So we had pointed out that the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Dalid did give us a shi'ur concerning lulav, and that's concerning esro, and that's the shi'ur which the Gemara operates with according to the girsa that appears in front of us in our text. What is the shear? It can't be larger than it can't be smaller than an egos or a beta, and it can't be larger than either, you can hold one in two hands or two in one hand. That's the way the Gemara appears. However, if you take a look at the side of the Gemara, which is the Rabbeinu Hananel's interpretation, and this is not an interpretation, he obviously had a different text. If you look at Rabbeinu Hananel, about seven, eight lines from the top, where it says, there is a little dot where it says, Shel Asherah v'shel Irani Dachas, says the Rabbeinu Hananel, v'shum dehevelei mitzvah hava b'avera. He didn't make that up. That's the text which he must have had in front of him. Because Rabbeinu Hananel, he just wouldn't obliterate a Gemara. He believes, or Rabbeinu Hananel does, that the disqualification of Kisusei Michtashi Urei, that since it is scheduled to be burnt, does not apply to an Esrog. Because that halacha only applies if the item requires a Shi'ur. Rabbeinu Hananel is of the opinion that the shi'ur, which we just made reference to on the bottom of the page of Lamed Dal and Lamed Beis, is not a shi'ur intrinsic to the item, to the chefza. It's a shi'ur to fulfill the mitzvah of ulekachten, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of ulekachten. How does it mean of ulekachten? That if it's going to be so big that I can't hold it, I might drop it, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah of ulekachten. So that mitzvah is not considered an integral part of the definition of the fruit. Consequently, the psul of mitzvah haba b'aveira, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, does not apply. As a result, he uses the expression mitzvah haba b'aveira. And as a result of this, we just pointed this out last week, obviously the Rabbeinu Hananel disagrees with Tosfos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Tosfos said that mitzvah haba ba'aveira does not apply to Asherah or Irani Dachas. That would not disqualify an Esrog Shel Asherah. Why? Because the Aveira of Avodah Zarah does not facilitate the mitzvah. The only time that we apply mitzvah haba b'aveira is if the aveira enables, facilitates the performance of the mitzvah. So when you steal something, we know why it's disqualified. Had you not stolen, you wouldn't have had an esrog. Here, had you not worshipped avodah zarah, you would still have the esrog. So the avodah zarah, the act of avodah zarah has nothing really to do with the esrog, and that's why Tosfos says it doesn't apply. The Rabbeinu Hananel obviously disagrees with Rashi. Obviously disagrees with Rashi. With the Gemara. What?
first night. The first day was all 7 days.
According to what? All 7 days. Mitzvah Ba'Avera.
Okay.
Makes no difference. Mitzvah Ba'Avera is not limited. In fact, according to the Gemara's version, that's why a Gazel is possible the second day. Because the first day a Gazel is possible because you need Lachem. Second day you don't need Lachem. So that only applies to, say, that's when you needed second day and onward. Second day and onward. So that you can see is Rabbeinu Hananel disagrees with Tosfos and obviously had a different girsa in our Gemara. Om again, Vayta Gemara. Shel Orla Pasul. If you have an esrog that grew from a tree that was planted within the last 3 years, its produce, the esrog of that tree, cannot be used for the mitzvah of lulav, of arba minim. Ask the Gemara my time. What is the reason an esrog shel orla is disqualified? Pligi ba Rabbi Chiya bar Avin v'Rabasi. There's a debate between Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabasi. Chad Omar l'fi she'ein bo heter achila. One of them says the reason why an esrog shel orla is pasul because you're not allowed to eat an esrog shel orla. And in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim, you have to have the ability to eat the fruit. V'chad Omar l'fi she'ein bo din mamon. And the other one says it has nothing to do with the lack of possibility of eating. It's because it has no din mamon. I deliberately did not translate it because it's subject to enormous debate. We'll take immediately a look at Rashi and try to understand what it means. What it means. First, Rashi b'dibur hamaskel l'fi she'ein bo heter achila. Since when does an alulav or an esrog have to have a heter achila in order to be the kind of mitzvah? What is the basis of that halacha? Says Rashi. V'rachmana l'fi she'ein bo heter achila. V'rachmana omar lochem. Or lekachtem lochem priyetz adar. Drash haraui lochem b'chol darkei hana'aso. It must be yours to be used in its normal fashion of benefit. The primary way in you benefit from a fruit is the capacity to eat it. So if you lack the capacity to eat it, what is it? It's lacking in lochem. That's the way Rashi explains it. Lochem demands that I have the capacity to use it, and it's all the normal ways in which you benefit from this item. A fruit, the primary benefit is to eat it. If I can't eat it, it's lacking in bilus. Therefore, according to Rashi, an esrog shel orla is possible only the first day yontif. Because the second day yontif, there's no requirement of lachem. So once we come to the second day of yontif, where you do not have to own it, I don't care that the isur achila limits my capacity of lachem. It's of no concern, because there is no such obligation to have a requirement of lachem. Kacha lo meid Rashi. However, the Rambam, Perek Ches, Hilchos Lulav, Halacha Tes, states point blank that an esrog shel orla is pasul all 7 days of yontif. Obviously, it can't be because of the deficiency in lachem, because there is no requirement of lachem all 7 days. What does the Rambam believe the deficiency is then? One interpretation is, it's not a fruit. It's lacking in shame pri. A pri means you can eat it. That's what a pri means to us. I don't care what a pri means to Tom in the street. That doesn't bother me. Pri, for us, means, at least for the Yontif of Sukkot, that I can eat it. If I can't eat it, it's halachically not a pri for this particular mitzvah. Therefore, if it's a chisaron in shame pri, obviously it's pasul all 7 days. That's the simple pshat of the Rambam based on what he writes. He doesn't say, that's one possible pshat of the Rambam. One possible pshat of the Rambam. However, the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos writes that the reason why Orla is possible is because it is one of the items Sheteunin Sreifa. Sheteunin Sreifa. You have to burn Orla. And so what? And so what? What? Okay, he doesn't even say that. This is what he writes. I'm quoting. Shehatora Omra Pri. The Eila Einam Ru'uyim La'achila B'shum Panim. These, because they have to be burnt, therefore they can't be eaten. Since the Torah uses the word Pri, it creates the the inference that in theory I should be able to eat it. Since the halacha is that this item has to be burnt, under those circumstances, it is impossible to what? To eat it in any occasion, in any manner. So now you ask the question which virtually every Achron asks. The Rambam's like mixing up two things. First he said, what? There's a mitzvah sreifa. Then he says, because you can't eat it. So, let's assume there was no mitzvah to burn Arla. Okay? No mitzvah to burn Arla.
Still can't eat it.
So why does the Rambam have to indicate that the reason why Arla is asur, mishum shehein bichlal hadvarim hatu'unim sreifa? So everybody asks, lama pasach b'sreifa v'siyem b'din achila? This question was asked by the Chassam Sofer, by the Guin, many, many asked this question. And the Chassam Sofer, for example, answers that if not for the mitzvah sreifa, the mere fact that I can't eat it could have been circumvented in a very circumstantial way. It's something you're not supposed to do, but if you did it, if somebody did it, it might be possible. How? How do you do that? Let's assume the Esrog of Orla were to get mixed up with 500 other Esrogim. What would you rule? What? Batel. That's correct. So the Iser Achila part can what? Can apply. So you can get, theoretically, you can get rid of it.
It
will depend on how you look at Bittu, and I'm going to show you something else in just a second. Just a second. Where we might see this applied specifically about Orla in Chutz La'aretz. We'll get to it in 1 second. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, the Rambam had to go ahead and what? And identify another source as to why you shouldn't use it. Because if the only consideration was the lack of possibility of achila, that somehow could have been handled in some regard. And I'll tell you why. There is a halacha, the halacha of Orla appears in Vayikra chapter 19, Parshas Kedoshim, Shlishi of Parshas Kedoshim. Ki savoa la'aretz, unitatem kol eitz ma'achal. So shalosh shanim ye'elachem arelim lo ye'yachel. First 3 years. So the pasuk says, black on white, ki savoa la'aretz. Whenever that phrase exists, you know that the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah hakuyim ba'aretz. However, there is a halacha l'moishim yisinai that Orla applies in chutz la'aretz as well. Halacha l'moishim yisinai. Can't argue with it. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he said the Isur of Orla applies in chutz la'aretz. Now that would make an enormous problem for us. How would you eat Florida hopefully the oranges will survive, Florida oranges. How can you eat them? Every time you have an orange, maybe it's Orlo, maybe it's the first 3 years of its growth. Fortunately, there is a second part of the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. Seika is mutter. In Eretz Yisrael, Suffolk Orla is of course Usser. It's a Seika D'Oraisa. No doubt about it. However, in Chutz La'aretz, there is a part of the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai is Suffolk Orla is mutter. In fact, not only is Suffolk Orla mutter, you go so far as if the person who is handling the fruit doesn't know about the Isur of Arla, you have no obligation to tell him. It's only Asur to be consumed if you know definitively that it's Arla. And therefore, it is quoted by many Achroinim that for Arla in Chutz La'aretz, I could take something that I know is Arla and give it to you, and you're allowed to eat it, because you don't know it's Arla. That's how far the halacha of Suffolk, Arla, the Chutz La'aretz, is mutter goes. In which case, they use this to amplify the Rambam's position. What do I mean that Arla, you can remove the Isu Arla? What do I mean you can remove the Isu Arla? What the Rambam had in mind was Arla in Chutz La'aretz. Arla in Chutz La'aretz, the Isur Achila could be removed very quickly. Very quickly. And that's why the Rambam perhaps goes to another address, that if I have an Esrik Shel Arla, sure I can pass it off to you, but I shouldn't do so. What should I do it? I'm supposed to burn it. And as a result, you should not use it for the mitzvah. Says the Tosfos Rid, this nice little discussion will tell me that Arla in Chutz La'aretz is 100% mutter. Why? Because if I'm allowed to give it to you, so then you don't have to burn it. Then even I can use it. Why? Because we have a principle. Where do we see that principle that if somebody else can use it, I can use it also? What type of etrog? What type of etrog?
Truma.
Exactly. I'm not allowed to eat truma, but if I have an etrog show truma, the Mishnah says lechatzila lo yito. But the diavad will see the mitzvah. Why? Somebody has a right to eat it. Same thing here. Tosfos Rid says that which the Mishnah says, arla etrog shel arla is asur, can't be used. Only in Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, where you have this particular halacha, under those circumstances, the whole prohibition disappears completely if you wanted to claim that this is what the Rambam has in mind. This is what the Rambam has in mind. That is correct. Because then, it's not that it's... That's correct. Because in Chutz La'aretz it's definitely mutter, in Eretz Yisrael it's definitely usher. Why do you need two explanations? Precisely. Correct.
Did you still burn it? Did you do that?
No.
Then again, you're in heavy shape then.
I know. I understand. I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know.
Maybe the Perushim is nice to explain why he calls it, it's missing this, tells you why it's not a shame-free. The fact you can get around it is irrelevant. It's still lacking in shame-free.
Right, but... why do you need Sreifa for that, then? The question is, why do you need that it's Elu Hadvarim Hatu'unin Sreifa? The mere fact that it's Asa Ba'achila is enough to inject...
There are many things in Asa Ba'achila you're not going to say that are halachically but not a fruit.
For a mitzvah, that we will say that.
If you're trying to say it's not a shame-free, why would you say that? The fact that you have to burn it makes it a little bit... pushes in that direction.
Okay. I grant you it's a little difficult. So, I'd be happy if everybody will just know that it's a little difficult. So you should know that Rambam says it. I don't have a really clear-cut good answer. why the Rambam says this, and then he says, and you can't eat it b'shum panim. That's the Rambam Perek HaMishnayos. Now let's take a look, continue with Rashi. Rashi said, that was l'fi she'ein bar heter achila. What does it mean, l'fi she'ein bar din mamon? That's the second opinion. Why? Not because Arla is asar b'achila, l'fi she'ein bar din mamon. Says Rashi, she'eino shave pruta. The isure hana'ahu, hilkach lav shalachem hu. This is one of the most loaded statements of Rashi. Rashi says, since Arla is not only Asar Ba'achila, it's also Asar Ba'hana'a, therefore it has no legal value. No legal value. So if I try, the Mishnah in Kedushin says black on white. Hamnekadesh Ba'arla Eina Mekudeshes. Why? Because you haven't given the young lady something worth a pruta. Because it's halachically insignificant. That's fine. But then Rashi goes one step further. The mere fact that the esrog is worthless in and of itself would not disqualify it. Because where does it say that esrog have to be worth anything? Says Rashi. Why? Because there is no such thing as ownership in something that is asur bahana'a. And this, Rabotai, is subject to an enormous debate. Rashi's opinion is that there is no concept of ba'alut possible on something less than a pruta. No ba'alut possible on something less than a pruta. And it's not only because it's asur bahana'a. Please go back to Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph for a minute. Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, excuse me, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The debate here is a machloikis between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer as to whether or not an esrog, a sukkah she'ula is acceptable or not. A sukkah she'ula is acceptable or not. So it's about 12 lines from the top. Let's review quickly the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kishem she'ein adam yotzei yidei chavaso v'yantav rishon shel chag v'lulavo shel chavero. Just as you cannot use a borrowed esrog on the first day of yantav, why? The civil lekachtam lachem v'yomer rishon priyetz adar kapos tamayim mishol lachem. It must be yours. Kach ein adam yotzei yidei chavaso b'sukkah she'shachah averay. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah in a borrowed sukkah. We learned this. You always have to stay home for sukkahs. You cannot be invited out for a meal. You can't go to anybody else's sukkah but your own. Shine emar, why? Because it says, Dechsiv, Chag, Hasukkos, Ta'aseh, Lecha, Shivas Yamim, Drash, Mishel Lecha. It must be yours. Dachachamim Aymrim, Af al pi she'amru ein adam yotzi dechavaso biyantav harishon b'lulav v'shachaveray. Even though the Chachamim have said that you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah with a lulav of your friend, but aval yotzei yidei chavaso b'sukkaso shachaveray, but you can be mekayim the mitzvah with a sukkah of your friend. Dechsiv kol ha'ezrach v'Yisrael yeshvu b'sukkos. All of Am Yisrael will sit in a sukkah. That's nice. Melamed shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leishay b'sukkah achas. This teaches us that in theory at least, every single Jew can sit in one sukkah. Because the word basukot, even though it's printed in the Gemara like that, it's not really basukot. It's not written that way in the Chumash, in the Torah. It's written without a vav. So if it's written without a vav, it could have been read, kol ezrach yeshvu basukat, in one sukkah. So therefore they say, it is possible that everybody should have a borrowed one. So what question do you think emerges from that Gemara, which Rashi will explain? How does the Drash of the Chamim challenge the premise which Rabbi Eliezer said? Rabbi Eliezer said there must be ownership. And the Chachamim say everybody could live in the same sukkah. So ask a simple question.
Is that your personal?
Well, no. One second. He didn't say anything about a Shavah Pruta. Isn't it possible that two people can own it? So, if all of Klal Yisroel will own the same sukkah, it will be sukkah shelachem.
That's what they say.
No. That's not Rashi's going to say.
That's the way you understood the Chachamim, right?
That's the way you could understand the Chachamim. That fundamentally, they agree with what? With whom? With Rabbi Eliezer? That you have to own it. But it's possible to have multiple ownership. That's not what Rashi said. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi believes that when the Chachamim come along, they disagree ekronit, fundamentally, with Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer requires ownership, Chachamim do not. So how do they prove that they don't require ownership by virtue of the fact that everybody can live in one sukkah? How do they prove that? So take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kol ho ezrach, you have the Rashi b'dibur amaskul kol ho ezrach, the mashma sukkah achas l'chol Yisrael sheyeshu ba, ze achazeh. The efshar sheyehe l'kulon, it's impossible that everybody should own it. Why? The lomati shavapruta l'chol chad. It is impossible, no matter how gorgeous your sukkah will be, that if you have 6 million Jews and you divide up the cost of this particular sukkah, it is impossible that every single owner will own at least a pruta. The halacha of shutfus is that you can have shutfus if they each own a shavah pruta. But if they don't each own a shavah pruta, then the concept of partnership or ownership does not exist. Therefore, claims Rashi, since the Torah says, Kol ho ezrach b'Yisrael, every Jew should be sitting in the same sukkah, must be that you don't require ownership. Why? Because it's impossible to grant every single Jew at least a pruta's worth of ownership of one simple sukkah. So once again, Rashi is of the opinion that says that you have no bailus on what? On what? On Isurim, on something which is Asavanda. You have no bailus. There is no such thing as ownership on Isurim Hana. What? And therefore you don't need Lachem by Sukkah. Correct. But here, Rashi and there say the exact same thing. That there is no ba'alut possible by Isurei Hana'ah. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi. And they claim that Isurei Hana'ah, the issue is not that you don't have bailus, but it's halakhically not worth anything. So when I want to be Mekadesh and Isha, why can't I use it? Not because I don't own the Etrog, which is Asura Hana'ah, but I want to use it to be Mekadesh and Isha, because I haven't given her a pruta. In order to generate Kiddushei Kesef, you have to give her at least a pruta. And the way all Rishonim attack Rashi is for Gemara in Gittin and Daf Amida. The Gemara says, if you write a get on Isurei Hana'ah, it's perfectly okay. The get is chal. Now, a get doesn't have to be worth a penny, but the husband has to own the piece of paper. He has to give her something to her. He's got to give her something to her. He has to give her something. He has to give her something. It's got to be his. Can't just give somebody else's. He has to give her the thing. As a result,
How could he, according to Rashi, if you write a get on Easter Hanah, the get should not be good, because you don't own it. You can't give a get from something that you don't own. So apparently, if the Gemara legitimizes giving a get with the Isurei Hanah, the deficiency is not the lack of ba'alut, but the deficiency is lack of shivyon, of halachic worthiness. But a get need not be worth anything. But you do own the stupid piece of paper upon which the get is written. But that's the fundamental machloikis, and he said it here, Rashi, and he said it there as well. Rashi believes there is no bailus for Isurei Hanah. I haven't seen a good one. Yeah. Let's continue with the Gemara now. Now, Kasalta Daite, the Gemara believes at this point, Man deboi heter achila, lo boi din mamo. The opinion who says that an Esrik Sha'arla is disqualified because I require a heter achila, he does not require din mamon, that you have any financial worth in it. Uman the boy din mamon, lo boy heter achila. And the one who says that you need din mamon, he does not require that an Esrik have the capacity to be eaten. That's what the Gemara thinks now. That each opinion is to the exclusion of the other. Says the Gemara, Tanan, the Mishnah said, Shal Truma Tameya Psula. An Esrog of Truma Tameya is Psula. Truma Tameya, you're not allowed to eat, a Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma Tameya, but he must burn it and use the fuel as and benefit from the fuel. The Gemara's expression is always, Lahasikha Kachas Tafshilo, to use it as fuel underneath his cholent pot. Says the Gemara, Bishlom Alaman Diyamel Lefishen Bar Heter Achila Shopping. According to the opinion who says that an Esrik Shal Orla is Pasul, because you don't have an opportunity to eat it, I would understand why Truma Tameya is also Pasul. Why? Because you're not allowed to eat Truma Tameya. El Alaman Diyamel Lefishen Bar Din Mamon. But according to the opinion that an Esrog of Arla is apostle, based on the fact that you don't have a din mamon, amai, why can't you use Truma Tameya? Hare Masika Tachas Tafshilo. Everybody says that you can derive benefit. Not only can, you must derive benefit from it by putting it underneath your cholent. You must derive benefit. So it certainly has din mamon. So why would it be possible, according to that opinion? Therefore, now the Gemara revises. Ella. Beheter achila kuliyama lo pligi de be'ina. Everybody's of the opinion that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim, you must have the capacity to eat the fruit. Therefore, arla is possible and truma tameya is possible. Kuli alma lo pligi to be inan. Ki pligi, what is the debate between Rav Chiya bar Ravin and Rav Asi b'din mamon? Only whether you need an additional requirement or not. Mar Sover, one of them holds heter be'in eter achila be'inan din mamon lo be'inan, that you must have heter achila, but you need not have financial opportunity for financial value. Umar Savar, the other one holds din mamon nabi be'inan, that you must have what? The capacity to what? Not only to eat it, but you also have to have the capacity to express financial value. So the Gemara asks, well, if Truma Tameya and Orla are both eliminated based on the fact that you need a heter achila, what difference does it make whether you also require din mamon? Both of the cases that we've mentioned heretofore are already eliminated. Why? Based on the fact that you require a heter achila. Answers the Gemara, my binayu. Ika binayu.
Ma'aser Sheni Shebirushalayim Aliba the Rabbi Meir. The difference would be in another case. An Etrog shall Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns your Ma'aser Sheni even as you bring it to eat in Yerushalayim. When you eat your Ma'aser Sheni fruit, you're eating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruit. Therefore, the Gemara now says it clearly. If you only require heter achila, then you can use an esrog shel ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, because you're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. But if in addition to heter achila, you also require din mamon, then you cannot require, because you do not have financial ownership in an esrog of ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. Let's read it inside. So that's what the Gemara says. L'man diyam l'fi shein bar heter achila, harei yesh bar heter achila. It has a heter achila. Therefore, you should be able to be a kind of mitzvah. L'man diyam l'fi shein bar din mamon, according to the opinion that says that esrog shel arla is possible because it does not have din mamon, ma'aser sheni mamon gavoyu. And if it's mamon gavoa, you cannot be a kind of mitzvah with an esrog shel ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim.
Maybe the Rambam
is
just trying to talk for any both opinions. Maybe that's why he's speaking.
That it's Sreifa and interesting. That's a nice suggestion. Maybe. It's an interesting suggestion. Now let's take a look at two Rashis. I want to start with the second Rashi, because that's the simple one without the problems. The Gemara thought initially, that the one who requires heter achila does not require din mamon. The one who requires din mamon does not require heter achila. So please look at the Rashi b'dibur amaschil, uman deba'i din mamon, lo bo'i heter achila. The one who requires din mamon does not require heter achila. Rashi gives a very nice case. Let's read the Rashi. U'machshir esrog shel tevel. What will be the case? An esrog shel tevel. Tevel is an esrog from which trumot have not been taken. You're not allowed to eat an esrog shel tevel, punishable by misa b'nei shamayim. But it's mutar b'hanah. You're allowed to derive benefit from an esrog shel tevel. You can sell it to anybody you want. Anybody you want. And it has worth. You can be mekadesh anisha with it. Why? It's got a lot of worth. All she does to do is take off what? A little for truma, and then the rest of it is hers. So Rashi gives a clear-cut case. What would be a case, a litmus test case, for something that requires din mamon but does not require heter achila? Esrog shel tevel. And esrog shel tevel will be acceptable if you hold I need din mamon and I do not require din mamon. Excuse me. I require din mamon, but I do not require heter achila. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now Rashi. What should the Rashi have said now in the first case? According to the opinion who only requires heter achila, but does not din mamon. If you wanted to maintain parallelism, what illustration would you have used? That according to the Man D'Yama we just gave for din mamon, what was the case? Tevel. Tevel would be acceptable. Why? Because you're not allowed to eat it, but it has din mamon. So now if I want to illustrate the other case, the other position, give me an example of something that has has no heter achila, but has din mamon, what would you say? Esrog shel tevel. So according to one of them, an esrog shel tevel will be no good, because you require only a heter achila. And according to the other one, you only require din mamon, esrog shel tevel should be okay. That would have been simple Rashi, parallel, so nobody gets mixed up. You see two positions, heter achila, mamon.
If you require Hekel Achila, Esrei Shel Tevel Nuk. If you require Din Mamon, Esrei Shel Tevel Nuk. But Rashi doesn't do it so simple. Now let's read the first Rashi.
Wouldn't the parallel case be where you found it good also according to
Tevel? Okay, you could have, but you could easily illustrate it with Tevel. Why do I say you could not use an Esrei Shel Tevel? Because it doesn't have a Hekel Achila. That's the perfect illustration. Even though it has Din Mamon. But I believe the only criteria is Heter Achila. That's the perfect illustration. So I tell you, you can use an Esrei Shel Tevel. And then I say, if you hold Din Mamon, you can use it as because it's got Din Mamon, despite the fact that you're not allowed to eat. That clearly shows that you only need one of the two sides. Now go to the Rashi right above it, which is the Rashi's explaining of the first option. Man the boy heter achila. Right now we're of the opinion that the opinion who holds that you need heter achila, lo boi din mamo. I have a heter achila, kigoin, ma'ase sheni birushalayim. What type of example does he give? Ma'ase sheni in Yerushalayim. Lo boi din mamo. That opinion does not require a din mamo. The afal pi she'ein mamona l'Rabbi Meir, even though it's not his mamon according to Rabbi Meir, d'amar b'kedushin, ma'aseh sheni mamon gavoahu, ve'eino nichsa hedyot l'kadosh bo isha. Nonetheless, kosher lotzeis bo. You can be yotzei the mitzvah with it, based on the fact that it has a heter achila. So Moshe says that the reason why Rashi did that is because he doesn't want to give you the same thing, yes or no, with the same thing. He wants to give you two yeses. Two yeses. That if you only hold Heter Achila, you can use an Esrog of Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim according to Rabbi Meir, which you're allowed to eat, but you don't own. If you only hold Din Mamon, you can use an Esrog Shel Tevel, which you're not allowed to eat, and there is financial ownership in it. A financial ownership. That's the simple way of looking at it. Simple way of looking at it. However, it's possible to add something, a little additional clause, according to Rashi. Namely as follows. When you have to analyze whether something is asur ba'achila or not, what's the only branch in Shulchan Aruch that you have to examine? What? Yerudeya. That's it. Only thing you have to examine is Yerudeya. And you look all of Yerudeya, if you're allowed to eat it, you can go ahead and be Yotzei the Mitzvah. If you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed. Because in Yerudeya you find all items which are asur ba'achila. Now we come to Din Mamon, which means it's also Asa B'Hana'a. In what Chelek in Shulchan Aruch will you find the Surah Hana'a? No, before, four. How do you know what's something that's Asa B'Hana'a? Where do you find that? No. Same Yerudeya. In Yerudeya you will find things that you're not allowed to eat, and other things which not only are you not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to have hanah from. It's also all in Yerudeya. Isur v'hekter is in Yerudeya. But Din Mamon will also have to be traced in Chaysh and Mishpat. Whether or not, as Rashi learned, ownership is possible with Din Mamon. Whether you can have ownership in Din Mamon. Ownership in Din Mamon. So there are two things which will make that determined. Says Rashi, what is Din Mamon? What is Din Mamon? What does Hafka of Din Mamon mean? Who now makes the determination what did we just say is Rashi's primary illustration of the lack of Din Mamon? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does Rashi believe the Din Mamon is? Ownership. An ownership issue. not that it doesn't have any value. It's an ownership issue, not that it does not have any value. Therefore, had Rashi just given us the simple case, the flip side of Tevel, what would Rashi say? An Esrog Shel Tevel would be the case in both illustrations. An Esrog Shel Tevel, you're not allowed to eat it, but you own it. It has financial worth. Good. So if it has financial worth, then what now will happen? If you hold, you only require din achila, you're not allowed to use an Esrog Shel Tevel. If I only hold that you have din mamo, you're allowed to use it. But there would be no way of proving from the case of what?
Tevel.
Because
you don't lack ownership.
Exactly. That you don't lack ownership. So Rashi chooses a case which conveniently fits his what? His definition that the din mamo must express itself, not that it doesn't have that it doesn't have ownership. Which illustration does Rashi find where something that you're allowed to eat, but halakhically you definitely don't own? Masa Sheni, Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Meir. So Rashi is so consistent with his idea that something that does not have ownership generates a lack of possibility of bayrus, as we saw 2 seconds ago, and the deficiency is that it's not lachem. Rashi wants to drive that point home. And therefore, when illustrating a case where something does not have din momo, but it does have a heter achila, he wants to illustrate it with what? Masa Sheni Yerushalayim. It has the heter achila, but it does not have din momo because you don't have bayrus. Even though it's worth a ton. It's worth a ton. Why? Because you don't have ownership. Who owns it? And Rabbi Meir says the Rabbani Shalaya. So therefore, Rashi goes through this to amplify that which he just said, to prove his point, or to sustain his point of view, that every single something that has no din mamon, there is absolutely no bias. The Ravid, cited by the Ritva, takes Rashi's position one step further and says, let's assume this Gemara were Asr Bahana'a for some reason. Okay? I would not violate the Isur Gzela. I would not violate the Isur Gzela. Listen carefully. And I'm going to illustrate the key difference in 1 second. And let me ask you this. This tissue is worth less than a prutah. Okay? Are you allowed to go to my pocket and pick out a tissue? Yes or no? What's the answer? Not allowed. You violate the law of Lo-Sig-Zot. Can I prosecute you in court? No, absolutely not. Because Beis Din does not sit in session for less than a fruit. But did you steal something from me? You bet your life you did. Despite the fact that it's less than a shovel proof. And therefore, you will violate the law of Lo-Sig-Zot. Says the Ravid, therein is the real witness. If something is usur b'hada'a and has no din mamon, if it just was that what, it wasn't worth anything, it was worth less than a pruta, so then I shouldn't be allowed to steal it. You're allowed to maintain possession over something that's worth less than a pruta. That's your prerogative. But if you hold as Rashi does, there is no bayrus possible in something which has no din mamon, that means you don't own it. If you don't know, why can't I take it from you? Right, it goes so far as to write that Isurei Hana'a, which have no din mamon, are not subject to the law of Gezel. Not subject, to the laws of Gezel, that you can walk into my pocket, since my tissue is worth less than a shavapruta, it has no din mamon, therefore it has no bailus either. No bailus either. And the Ritva says, I never heard of something like this in my whole life. The Ritva is the one who quotes the Ravid, says, I never heard of something like this in my whole life. I can go to Yas and steal something that's less than a shavapruta, because halachically you don't own it. It's ridiculous. As long as, says the Ritva's Lashon is, as long as it's mine, and you don't have any rights to it, because it's in my house, and it's in my pocket, you're not allowed to steal it even if it's worth nothing. Bailus, you still have Anisuri Hanam. Bailus, you have Anisuri Hanam. So this is now a Machloikis, Rashi and the Ravid, versus the Ritva and the Ramban and everybody else, where the Bailus is possible on Isurei Hanam. Bailus is possible on Isurei Hanam. In fact, there is another support that would ultimately support Rashi, based on a very famous, very, very famous statement of Rabbi Shimon concerning the Yontif of Pesach. Whether you violate the law of Vayiram Vayimatzei. In order to violate the law of Vayiram Vayimatzei, who has to own the chametz?
You.
I do. If I have your chametz in my house, I don't violate, it's possible that I don't, if I have a goy's chametz in my house, I definitely do not violate Vayiram Vayimatzei. And according to many, even if I have your chametz, a Jew, in my house, I don't violate Vayiram Vayimatzei. Because it's not mine. So the Gemara is sensitive to the question. As soon as the Zman Isur of Chametz arrives, it's Asur Mahanam. So how can I violate Vayiram Vayimatzei? How is it ever possible to violate Vayiram Vayimatzei? Because in order to violate it, you have to own it. But you can't own it because it's worth less than a pruta. Because it's Asur Mahanam. So what is the Gemara's famous answer in the name of Rabbi Shimon? Exactly, that's one of the 150 things you got to know in order to fool everybody. Shnei dvarim she'einam b'rshusa shaladam v'osan hakasuv ki'ilu hein b'rshusa. You're right. In theory, you don't own any chametz. If you don't own any chametz, you can't violate your law of ownership chametz. But the Torah makes believe that it's yours just for one purpose. Nail it. To make sure that you violate the law. You don't own it for any other reason. You can't do anything with it. But it's yours just to violate the law of Vayiram Vayimatzei. With that Gemara's, and the other one is Bar Brisha Sarapa. Why do I have to, if I dig a hole in the street, why do I have to pay for damages? I don't own the pit. It belongs to the public, it belongs to the people. The answer is, the Torah said, we're going to hold you personally accountable for it.
The Torah should tell you, that means you don't own it.
What?
That's the current place, that means in other cases, you don't know.
Exactly. The fact that the Torah has to tell me that I own it supports Rashi and the Ravid that technically you don't own it. You don't own it. And that if it's something else, if I wanted to write a get on some chametz, right, to be Mekai in the midst of Zman Cheruseinu, so you want to write a get on it, you know, Zman Cheruseinu in the other sense, right, so that you would be able to write it. Because you don't own the chametz. It's only Kidei La'avar Vayiram Vayimatzei that supports the Ravid and Rashi against Avi Rishon. But this is a titanic. We'll say about this. Volumes and volumes written about this. Whether ownership is possible in Isurei Hanah. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Tosfos, the Dibur HaMaschil Lefi She'ein Bo Heter Achila, Tosfos asks the following question. He asks many questions. T- I want to focus for a second on the in the middle of the Tosfos, where you see where it says in parentheses Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, four lines atop of it. V'im Toimar Esrog Shel Orla Tepuklei. The Mechashiure, the Mitzvasa Besreifa. Everybody knows that the halacha is Orla has to be burnt. It's listed in Masechas Tmura amongst those items that are called Nisrafin and therefore Afron Mutter. It's a very famous rule in Masechas Tmura. Anytime the Torah says something has to be burnt, and you burnt it, you're allowed to use the ashes. If the Torah says, get rid of it in any other fashion, and you decided to burn it, then the ashes are awesome. Only if there is a mitzvah to burn, you're allowed to use the ashes. And the expression of the Gemara is, Na'aseit mitzvasa. Because you already did the Torah said burn it, you did burn it. Did burn. If the Torah doesn't tell you to burn, tells you to destroy it, it means destroy it entirely, and if the ashes, that's still a remnant of it. And there is a list amongst those items that have to be burned, and consequently the ashes are mutter, or what is listed. Yes, this place is very simple, Kasha. Who needs Heter Achila? Who needs Din Momo in order to eliminate Esrog Shel Orla? We don't need this whole Gemara. We know why Esrog Shel Orla is not good for Esrog. Because it's Ksuse Mechdash Yuri. Since you have to burn it, it's missing the shear. And Tosfos is not going to answer like Rabbi Nachmanel. That why? Because it doesn't have a shear. No, Tosfos doesn't believe in that. Tosfos believes like our Gemara just said 5 seconds ago that an Esrog of Asherah is possible because of Ksuse Mechdash Yuri. Why is it possible? Because what are you supposed to do with an Asherah Esrog? Burn it. By the same token, asks Tosfos, an Esrog Shel Orla requires Sreifa. So why do I have to waste the last hour of explaining the Machloikis whether it requires Heter Achila, the fact you have to be able to eat the Esrog, even if there was no halacha, did you have to be able to eat it? Even if there was no halacha, did you have to have financial ownership? It's possible for another reason. It's Omedes L'Sreifa. And the rule is, Kol Ha'omed L'Sreifa Kisaruf Dami. Anytime something is scheduled to be burnt, halachically we consider it as if it's already burnt. Well, it's already burnt. It doesn't exist. That's the best reason why you can't use an Esrog Shel Orla. That's even worse. That's even worse. It's even better for us. Because Ksuse Mechdash Yurei Wad requires a shear. Kol Ha'omed L'Sreifa Kisaruf Dami doesn't even require a shear. It doesn't exist at all. Not that it's shear is drus. It doesn't exist. It's already burned. It's burnt. You can't use it because it doesn't exist. That's Tosfos' discussion. Let's read it. V'im Toima Esrog Shel Orla typically the Mechdash Yurei the Mitzvaso B'Sreifa. The Chachashiv Le B'Tmura Perek Basra, the Gemara in Masach's Tmura counts this Bahadi Nisrafin amongst those that have to be burnt. For Amrinan Hasam HaNisrafin Lo Yikbaru, you shouldn't bury it, but you should specifically burn it. And then he goes on to prove it. So skip a couple of lines. I just want to get to Tosfos' answer. Look at Tosfos' answer. As often happens, he just cops out. You're right. You really don't need anything that the Gemara discussed. You don't need you don't need Din Mamon. You don't need Heter Achila. You could have eliminated Esrog Shel Orla because of Ksuse Mechdash Yurei. Ela nechlekulu b'hani tameh le'inyin Orla. Mishum d'nafkamina le'inyin masasheni. Why did I have this whole discussion by Orla?
because it will come out a difference according to Rabbi Meir about Matzah Sheni and Yerushalayim. So why didn't the Gemara just discuss Matzah Sheni and Yerushalayim? That's why you got to discuss it by Orla. That's the place to say it. You're right. I didn't need anything by Orla. Why did I discuss it by Orla? So that I could have a debate, come up with a question, what's the difference between this guy and that guy, and come up with another case called Matzah Sheni and Yerushalayim. And the answer, what everybody has to say, so why don't you just quote the Mishnah talks about Matzah Sheni and Yerushalayim. So discuss it. Other than a name, then you quote the Matzah Sheni. That's why I discuss it by Oral. Very, very different. This is just one of 800,000 times. But Tysus's question is right on the mark. And his answer is less than compelling. Less than compelling. But as I told you many times, the Bali HaTosfos originated the style of learning. What style of learning as opposed to Rashi? Rashi's style of learning was, I have to explain the daf that's right in front of your nose. Nothing else. In the shortest possible manner. That's my challenge. Explain the daf Gemara that's right in front of your nose. In the shortest possible way. In fact, somebody did a study. You know that Baba Basra, we're learning now, Daf Yomi, has 176 blot. There are no more words, approximately, in Masechet Gittin, in which there are 90 blot, than are Baba Basra. You know why it has 176 blot? Because the Rashba. Because there's no Bashi after that Pachas. There's only the Rashba, and he can't stop talking. He can't explain things as well as Rashi does in two words. Rashba is 20 lines. So therefore, the printer, when he decided to include it, the pagination, how can he add more dots? Because there's no room for the Rashba on the page. The Bali HaTosfos introduced a new style that not only explained this Gemara, every Gemara in Shas has to jive with this one. That's Tosfos' kashier. This is Gemara Temura. Rashi knew the Gemara Temura, but that's not his job, to explain and to reconcile why our Gemara says an Osir shall always possible, because it's a Gemara Temura that says that it's Nisra. That's not Rashi, that's Rashi's job. Tosfos it is. That's a style introduced by the Bali HaTosfos. All of the Chachmei Sfarad picked it up on it. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, all. You'll come to a Ramban, you will never ever find an answer like this. By the time it came to the Sephardic hands, they already refined it and would never give an answer like this. They adopted the same style. Gemara A, Gemara B, you come up with a conceptual difference. Otherwise, say it's a kasha, I don't have an answer. But because they refined the method, but the Bali HaTosfos who started the method sometimes didn't yet conceptually come up, so they just come up with such an answer. We'll stop here, Rabotai. Zell, no share for the next 2 weeks. Be in the Holy Land and in Florida next week.